And so this morning we continue our In Christ series from the book of Ephesians. The opening three chapters have all been about who we are in Christ. They detail God's gracious plan for us and they demonstrate his great power. As Christians, we've gone from death to life, from enemies to friends, from being far away from God to being brought near, from being excluded from God to being included with God. When someone becomes a Christian, a change occurs, a miracle happens. Spiritually speaking, they go from having nothing to having everything. They have every spiritual blessing in Christ, not because of what they've done, but because of what Christ has done for them. A Christian has a totally new life in Christ. Gone is their old life. Paul also writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. A new life means a new lifestyle. It means living holy lives in Christ. That's our sermon title for this morning and is the focus of our passage. Now, before we turn to it, let's just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Let me, Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for your guidance as we look at the ways in which we can live out holy lives in you, Lord, as described in this passage from Ephesians 4. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move among us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'll grant us a good understanding of this passage. Help us to grasp clearly what it is saying. I pray too, Lord, that the words I use this morning are the words that you would want me to share. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Ephesians 4, Paul talks about having an old life and now having a new life. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you live on the streets. For argument's sake, these streets are the streets in Clay Cross. You have no money, you have no friends, you have a family, but they've disowned you. The clothes that you have on are dirty and torn. They're all that you have to wear. You haven't eaten properly for days, you're hungry, you're emotional, and your home is just a box. It's just a box in the doorway of a shop that was called Food for Thought. Every night is wet, it's damp, it's cold, it's scary, it's desperate. Every day is lonely. Lots of people just pass you by and they ignore you. Life is miserable. Life is desperate. You can't see a way out. Then one day, whilst you're sitting in your box, a stranger comes by. This stranger isn't like the others. They stop and they look at you in your eyes. A look that you've never seen before. A look of love and one of hope. The person speaks kindly to you. He helps you up and he walks you to his car. He seems to know all about what you've done and what you're like. Despite this, he's being kind to you anyway. He drives you to a large house. When you get there, you're welcomed in by the housekeeper. Once inside, you're then introduced to the rest of the staff in the house. As well as the housekeeper, there's a cook, a cleaner, and a gardener. You're given a tour of the house. You're taken to the east wing, and you're taken to the west wing. They show you an indoor swimming pool and a games room. They show you a huge bedroom with this just ginormous flat-screen television. Inside the bedroom, there's just a large wardrobe, and there's just clothes upon clothes upon clothes, all of them brand new. Then there's an ensuite, and in that ensuite, there's one of those really big jacuzzi baths. After showing you round, the housekeeper tells you lunch is served. They tell you to enjoy a nice bath and then change into one of these new outfits beforehand. Now, lunch is Kathy Cook style. It's three courses. It is plentiful. It's humongous. Lunch is served with coffee and cakes. You know the type of cakes I mean, the one that Liz, Avis and Jean all make, all those lovely cakes. And don't forget those biscuits that Elizabeth makes too, and Linda. Sorry, just composed myself a minute thinking of food. How good is that? But better still, once you've eaten, all the washing up is done for you. After lunch, you're then greeted again by the man who first picked you up. He tells you that he's opened a bank account for you and there's enough money in it for you. He also points outside to the brand new car sitting on the driveway. He holds out his hand for you to shake it and he tells you that the car is yours. And then he turns to leave and then he doubles back and he says, oh, I almost forgot. The house is yours too. And he throws you the keys. As he goes to leave, you run to him, you fall at his feet. You've got just tears streaming down your face. You thank him and you ask him, what have I done? What is it that I've done to deserve all this? What can I do in return? The man just smiles and says to you, it's on me. It's all paid for. You have a new life now. Just live your new lifestyle. Ephesians 4 is the turning point of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In verse 1 of that chapter, Paul urges them. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. A new life means a new lifestyle. Paul examines this new lifestyle and gives us instructions for living. Paul explains that this new lifestyle is lived out in the body of Christ. This body of Christ is the church. It's a life lived out in the local church. So how should we live this new life as part of the body of Christ? Well, the central theme of this passage is picked up in verses 22, 23, and 24. And we get our 3 points for this morning from these verses. 3 things which we, as believers, were taught. Put off your old self. Renew your mind. Put on your new self. Let's look at the first of these now. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 19. They read, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in their futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Paul begins this section of his letter by urging the Ephesian believers. He insists that the believers in Ephesus do not go back to their old ways. God insists too that we don't return to our old ways of life. God has given us a new life and a new lifestyle. You wouldn't take your new clothes off and put your old rags back on. You wouldn't walk out of the house you've just inherited to return to a box on the street. Paul urges these Ephesian Christians to no longer live as the Gentiles do. Why is Paul so insistent that they no longer live as the Gentiles do? Well, we're given 4 explanations in these opening couple of verses. Firstly, they live a pointless life. You must not live as the Gentiles do because their way of life is pointless. The word Gentile is used here to describe those living away from Christ. You're either living in Christ or you're living away from Christ. Paul is saying to these believers, don't be tempted back. Don't return. Continue to live the same way you are living now. Don't turn around. Don't fall into old sinful habits. Don't look around with envy at the non-Christian world. Don't let the world squeeze you back into its mold. They might promise much, but it's all pointless. Their thinking is futile. Your old way of life, a life before you were in Christ, is pointless. it's pointless and it leads to separation. Secondly, they are separated from Christ. Verse 18, first part of it. If you stop living with Jesus, then you become separated from him. Those that have turned back are the they in this part of the verse, verse 18. Their understanding has become darkened. They've left the light. Too much of what the world thinks is wrong is becoming corrupt. Anyone not saved by Christ thinks incorrectly or foolishly. Their minds are darkened. They're blinded by the truth. They are blinded by the truth. So why do people think this way? Well, they become separated through ignorance and hard-heartedness. They are ignorant and hard-hearted, thirdly. Those that don't believe the truth of Jesus and the Bible are ignorant. They're ignorant of the truth, despite the clear evidence. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but not now. He now commands all people everywhere to repent. The reference there is Acts 17, verse 30. Ignorance of the truth and turning back to the old self is not an option. Hard-heartedness is not an option either. Hearts must be softened. Romans 1 verse 21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." It's often Christians who are accused of being deluded and ignorant. But that's not the case. It's all unbelievers who have been deceived. The corrupt and deceitful nature of this world has influenced many. As Christians, we need to be careful, though, not to be smug and self-righteous. We need to remember that it's only because of God's grace to us that we can be confident of our Father's forgiveness. We must maintain a clear heart, a clear mind, and a clear understanding. Darkness leads to separation from God. A life that is cut off from him. Fourthly, they have indulged in every kind of impurity. If you're a Christian, that is a description of your former way of life. From the outside, you may have looked respectable. Not on the inside, though. Paul says to indulge in impurity is to live a life separated from God. By indulging in impurity, the end result is often a continual lust for more of it. The world around us is greedy for more. It is selfish and self-centered. And if you want an example, think back to the toilet roll scenario of lockdown one. People stockpiled various items. Why? Because they prioritized themselves. Regardless of who they hurt, their attitude was, me first, you second. Paul urges us as Christians in verse 22 to put off your old self. Do not return to your former way of life because it's corrupt and deceitful. With the help of the Holy Spirit and with the help of other believers, put off your old self. Leads us on to our second point. Put off your old self and renew the attitude of your mind. Following Paul's call to put off your old self in verse 22, there then comes this instruction in verse 23. This instruction is to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Paul wants the Ephesian believers to remember what they knew. He reminds them they are no longer like the Gentile non-believers, which is why he is so insistent that they don't return to that old way of living. They are different. You as a Christian are different too. Look what Paul says in these verses 20 to 22. They read, "You, however, did not come to know Christ this way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regards to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." in these verses, Paul gives us two reasons for renewing your mind. Firstly, you do not come to know Christ this way. You do not come to know Christ through a lack of understanding. You do not come to know Christ through ignorance and a hard heart. You do not come to know Christ through indulging in all sorts of impurity. No, you came to know Christ because you thought differently. You thought differently to the corrupt world and the deceitful influences. You didn't just blend in. Instead, you decided to stand out. You decided to stand out against those who don't follow Christ. We all, as Christians, have to think and act differently to the worldly ways. We must no longer live like we used to back in that old way of life, but rather we must think with a renewed attitude of our minds. And where does this thinking come from? It comes from Christ, through the Spirit of Christ that now lives in you. Because secondly, you were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. As a Christian, your thinking has changed because you've been taught in Him. It was changed by focusing not on the world and their corrupt desires, but by focusing on the teachings of Christ Jesus. By reading and studying and being taught God's word through the Bible. As you learn the teachings of Christ, you relearn how to think and to navigate. You are able to think clearly and navigate your life in Christ. You need to spend time in God's word and pray every day. Every member and attender of HEC should commit to reading and praying. If we all read our Bibles and pray regularly, then we'll grow spiritually. We'll grow spiritually together. And we'd be much more unified. Many of our conflicts and squabbles would disappear. God's word renews our attitudes and minds. It helps us think differently in Christ. As our thinking is renewed, it should then change our actions. It enables us to leave our old self behind and put on the new self. Paul continues in verse 24. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Here we are urged to do the same. We must leave our old lives behind. We are to live a holy life in Christ, a life worthy of the calling we've received. There's the opening verse again. As our attitude is renewed, how does that change our actions? Verses 25 through to 32, in them Paul lists various traits, some to stop, some to start, maybe some to continue. The old self is the person you were before Christ got hold of your heart. The new self is the person you are becoming in Christ. Let's look at these traits in the moments that remain. Firstly, do not speak falsely. Instead, speak truthfully. The old self will be okay with speaking partial truths. It'd be happy to elaborate the truth, to gossip and to speak ill of others, in order to make itself perhaps look good and maybe someone else worse. But the new self, who I am in Christ, isn't afraid to speak truth. The new self isn't afraid of speaking truthfully, even if it makes us look bad. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 15, something we looked at on Tuesday night. We are to speak the truth to one another in love. And why should we do this? So that we may grow in Christ, for we are all members of one body. See, speaking falsely will have an opposite effect. Therefore, speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. Proverbs 27, verse 5 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. To have the truth and not speak is not to love. And to speak the truth without doing it in love makes you a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, 1 Corinthians 13. We are to speak the truth to one another in love. Avoid falsehood. Secondly, do not have sinful anger. Instead, have sinless anger. Look at verse 26. Paul doesn't say, don't get angry. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Perhaps anger is not always a wrong emotion. Jesus got angry in the temple when he saw people mistreating it. If you remember, the people there, they treated it like a den of robbers. The old self uses anger to get its way. It's used in the wrong emotion. The new self is angered by things that anger God. Unholiness, sin, injustice, righteousness. Sinless anger is rare and brief. It ends at sunset. It doesn't last long. Righteous anger is quick to sort things out. And Paul encourages the same. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. You should be quick to deal with anger. Because if you don't, the devil will get a foothold. And he doesn't need much encouragement. And if he's given the chance, then he'll destroy relationships in the church family. Thirdly, do not steal. Instead, work and share. The old self takes advantage of others to get ahead. The old self might cut corners. It might be selfish and work shy. The old self might be lazy. It might leave things for others to do. And you know the things I mean. There's a mountain of washing up, building up. And as you arrive at the sink with your coffee mug, you think, oh, no. So instead of cleaning it up, you play buckaroo and you carefully balance your coffee cup and then you quickly, hastily depart. Oh, I didn't see any washing up. In contrast, the new self works honestly and hard. The new self shares. It shares what it has with those in need. The old self is self-centered and selfish. The new self is selfless. Fourthly, do not speak unwholesome talk. Instead, build others up. The old self picks faults in others and brings people down. The old self can't wait to tell others what that person said or did. And the old self makes excuses for this behavior. Oh, I was just venting my frustration, or I was getting advice on how to deal with a situation. In our old hearts, we disguise gossip as prayer requests. We've all done it. The new self works hard and speaks positively about others. The new self goes above and beyond to build others up with kind words. Even if those words involve correction, they're spoken in love. I was always told growing up, think before you speak. Once you've uttered those words, you can't take them back. Let's make sure we build each other up, not bring each other down. Fifthly, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Instead, welcome it. To grieve the Holy Spirit in this context means to live the old self, not the new self, which has been saved by Jesus and sealed by the Spirit. Part of what the Spirit is doing in us is to produce his fruit and to grow us. We are to grow in godliness and righteousness. If we fail to play our part in that process, then we'll just be like our old self. We'll grieve the Spirit. Therefore, the new self must welcome the Spirit. The new self must allow him to change us. We need to change from the old self into the new self. Sixthly, and lastly, do not be bitter. Instead, be kind and forgiving. Verses 31 and 32 read, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with any form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The old self gets bitter and resentful, angry and slanderous. The old self tends to get like this when life doesn't go its way. But the new self is kind and compassionate. It's forgiving too. And why should you forgive? Well, because Christ forgave you. We're able to forgive because Christ has forgiven us. On the cross, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins so that we can live. He died so that we don't have to die in our sins. Through repentance and faith, we receive eternal life. On the cross, Jesus took our old self, crucified and killed it. Through his resurrection, we have a new life. A new self which is sweet and not bitter, hospitable and not hostile. Instead of rage, it reconciles. Instead of getting angry, it stays calm. The new self is able to control themselves and is forgiving. It's kind, it's compassionate, and it's forgiving towards others. So as we close, let's not finish with a conclusion, but more of an evaluation instead. As Christians, how are we doing in our new lifestyles? As a church body, do we look more like the world or more like Christ? If we're honest, we should admit it hasn't always been easy at HEC. Now, I'm aware there's been anger, there's been unwholesome talk, and there's been bitterness. The past year is no exception. People have been upset with the leadership. They've been unhappy with others in the church. They've been unhappy with a church not being open. Despite always thinking of the fellowship, despite following advice, some people have got angry and have spoken poorly about these things. Now, I'm sure there's other examples, but please don't shoot me because my kids are here. So I make no apologies. If you're sitting uncomfortably here or at home, then I don't apologize. The reason for bringing this up this morning is because Paul brings it up. Paul tells you and me to avoid anger, unwholesome talk, and bitterness. Why? Because it gives the devil an opportunity to destroy our church family. Because this is your old self, a way of life that is like the rest of the world. Your old self is separated from God. It's a deceitful and meaningless life. But to make this a fair evaluation, there's been plenty of positives. We've seen some great examples of kindness and compassion shown. We've seen care shown to those that have been vulnerable, those that have been ill. We've seen meals provided. We've heard of loads of phone calls that have been made. We've had umpteen tea and chats on Zoom. We've seen shopping brought and essentials shared. We've seen donations made to Caring for Life and to local food banks. Paul tells us to be kind and compassionate to one another. He tells us to forgive one another just like Christ forgave us. Why? Because that is your new self, a way of life that looks more like Christ. If you put on the new self, then you'll begin to live a holy life in Christ. So, put off your old self. Renew your mind and put on the new self. Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Amen.